Welcome back in. Hour number two, Robbie Rex Road, the text line. Happy Friday morning to everybody. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. And we welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program. Joins us every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. Jared, good morning. How are you?
I'm just doing fabulous. It's so great to be on the show. Let's see what the people text in.
Yes.
Let's go to the phones, which are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
I got one.
Get the phones in.
I got one. Okay. Jake and Greenbrier. If y'all are the text line with Robbie and Joe, then the 2 o'clock show is, quote, meaningless 10-second sound bites taken out of context with Jared Stillman. Job, Jake. I love it.
Yeah. What did we take out of context?
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. That's awesome. Have you ever had anything in context? Might be the better question.
First of all, our sound cuts are a little bit longer than 10 seconds, and I probably need to get better at cutting those down to a little bit shorter. But, man, I tell you, Joe, you took it so personally when I said that y'all read the text line the whole show. I meant that as a compliment.
Yeah, I just think it's funny. The sacred cowism is the thing I have the bigger problem with, because it's really, on your part, horse's assism. But you have 10 minutes, or well, maybe like 9 minutes now, in which to apologize. So, you know, feel
to
free.
Who?
To us.
For what?
One, because you wasted everybody's time with a bunch of quote unquote receipts that were not receipts at all for your claim. Two, because every single one of those quotes that you put in that thing were part of a discussion in which we absolutely talked about all angles of it. But
what am I supposed to do? Run 10 minutes of your show? Just
run your show on replay? No. What you're supposed to do is not do something stupid like that. You're supposed to not do it because it's freaking stupid. But you did it.
Now we're just calling people names.
I didn't call you a name there. I said it was stupid.
Okay. You said, you know, run the tape. And this is one thing that you do, and I love you, and you know that. But this is one thing that you do, which is you always say, you know, that didn't happen. Find me an example. And then I go out and find examples.
You
and
do?
You always say
when?
That they don't count.
No, but Jared, you didn't find any examples.
Robbie,
you
remember
got,
last
Robbie,
remember
please
last
jump in on
training
this.
Camp, not this previous training camp, but the training camp before that, where Tannehill wasn't throwing the interceptions. And Joe was like, I need to see last year where we were talking about Tannehill throwing interceptions. And then
you're
going to
do this again? You've already been blown up on this one, too.
And then
this
we
is
went
incredible.
And not only found like articles about Tannehill's interceptions, but also found a
Didn't
cut
you find, like, a
of
Titans
Tannehill
Wire article?
Asking, or I mean, a Joe asking Tannehill about the interceptions.
Uh-huh.
And the question was something like, you know, are the reason you're throwing those interceptions, like, that's just because you're trying things out, right? Like, that's a Tannehill was like,
I think
yeah.
I do remember that question, but I think the articles you found were like,
right.
Like fan blog.
This was another right. This was another great example of Jared claiming he
had
receipts
Every time
and not having
Predators,
receipts.
Talk about fan blogs, I get yelled at. Which, by the way, congratulations, Robbie, on the NHL.com.
Thank
thing.
Thank you,
awesome.
I appreciate it.
But like every time I say, like, oh, you know, as a fan of that, people get all mad at me. So now I'm not allowed to cite the fan blogs.
What you need to do is, if you claim you have receipts, actually have receipts. If you don't, like in this case, you had zero, like remotely. Anything that resembled sacred cowism, and then you're like, "Oh, the morning show's going to tell you it was all about the penalties."
I just want Joe to say sacred cowism more.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good term. And so the morning show's going to tell you it's all about penalties. Like a few days after we spent on a show telling people it's not about penalties. I mean, you make fun of a certain politician sometimes, Jared. You resemble that certain politician in amazing ways.
Hey, man, don't be angering half the audience at something that I...
You're the one who brings him up and also acts like him.
Jared, Anthony Richardson, who you're a big fan of on Sunday, played pretty well so far this year. If you look at the numbers, obviously got to get a little bit more accurate, but some good games from Anthony Richardson to this point. How worried are you about him against this Titans defense on Sunday in Indianapolis?
I'll tell you what I'm worried about when it comes to the Titans on Sunday. Okay. I'm worried about the Titans. You know, this is the thing that I've realized in my life is that the Tennessee Titans, you know, I think I told this story yesterday on the air, but years ago, You know, remember how Nick Saban gets mad before, like, Alabama plays Nowhere State and yells at the media about how, like, you don't think this is a big game. But they're a good team. And, you know, they're third in their conference at running the football. And
got
we ain't
Division
stopped
one
nobody, aight? So you guys get there, you write about how this game doesn't matter. And all of a sudden, you know, he gets like that. I saw Floyd one time. I was like, you know, Saban gets so worked up every time Alabama plays Nowhere State. And he said, well, that's because guys like me and Nick and Bill, we've lost too many games like this over the years to ever take anything for granted. And I feel like at this point in my Titans life, as a fan and as a talk show host, I feel like there's just way too many times that the Titans have had a big game. And I think this is a big game. It's a divisional game. We talked so much about getting to 3-3 before the bye. You win this, you're at worst going to be 3-3 before the bye. Here's an Indy team that's not very good. They're not good on defense. They don't stop the run. They're really not good at stopping the pass. They're not even really good in the red zone, which when you play the kind of defense they play, you're supposed to be good in the red zone. They're really just not a very good football team. They're incredibly injured. Like, you should go to Indy if you're any good, and you should beat Indy. Indy's going to be a 6 or 7 win football team this year. You should go on the road and beat them. And yet with the Titans, how many times have we seen, you know, they really should go on the road because, and then the Titans go out there and just throw up all over themselves. And the Titans have been so terrible on offense on the road this year that I do worry a little bit about, you know, the playing on the road and not being able to hard count. And I think there may be something to that. The defenses they played on the road this year were pretty good, and Indy's defense is not very good. But how do I feel about, you know, Anthony Richardson? You know, I love Anthony Richardson, but I'm worried about the Titans on Sunday. If the Titans do what they're supposed to, they're going to win Sunday. And the fact is, I'm worried that they may not do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, but you're forgetting the Vrabel factor, possibly the greatest coach of all time who could never possibly be fired in any scenario. Jared.
I am shocked by, when it comes to Vrabel, that over the last 5 years, anytime the Titans lose a game, it's never Vrabel's fault. And every time they win a game,
says
like,
who? Who says that?
Oh, Vrabel.
Yeah.
And then
Vrabel says
game.
That? Or are you talking about sacred cowism again?
Oh, I'm talking about everybody, you guys.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, they lose the Browns game. And Vrabel, you know, the fans are mad. Like, the fans are mad at Vrabel. They smoke the Bengals. And I didn't hear anybody saying, like, oh, Vrabel, what a good coach for that Bengals game. And I'm like, man, that is different than kind of the narratives that have surrounded winning and losing in Vrabel in the past.
Do you agree with this, Robbie? No. You agree with anything Jared says? How come you disagree with all these things, but you just make me yell? I don't.
You get really mad.
Well, I know, but come on, man.
Do you disagree with the fact that the Titans might screw up on Sunday at Indianapolis?
No. I do not disagree with that.
Not at all. I mean, I agree that they should win this game. The Colts aren't very good. The only thing that I don't buy the home road thing. I know it's been four games. I think New Orleans, that atmosphere mattered. Cleveland atmosphere was, that's no factor that game. They got destroyed. I don't care where that game is played here. If it's played here, it's like that Ravens game of 2018. Neutral field, world's biggest cocktail party, Maui, whatever. Like, they're going to get their butts kicked that day. So that was just a matchup. New Orleans was the Titans have, you know, with Vrabel, I mean, they've had as many impressive road performances over these years and bad home performances, right? Like, I don't think that there's – I think that will not end up being a factor.
I mean, I hope it's not. Like, I mean, but it's just with the Titans, it's like every time they have a good game and I feel like there's some positive momentum that's coming up, it's like they go and they lose the game they shouldn't lose. And this is a game they shouldn't lose. I haven't even looked at the line, which I'm kind of surprised by. The Titans are underdogs, aren't they?
They started out that way. Now they're 2.5-point favorites.
Okay, I was going to say, it's ridiculous if the Titans are underdogs, given the injuries that Indianapolis has. But, I mean, hey, I don't feel comfortable about the Titans at -2.5 on Sunday. And the Titans should be a significantly better team than Indianapolis.
How worried are you about Burks at this point? I mean, based on, number one, the injuries, number two, the production. I mean, he's basically had the 70-yard catch this year, and that's it. There's not been much else after that. How worried are you about Burks at this point, based on where he's at?
I mean, he's not trending in the right direction. And, you know, I hate it because people that are injury prone do not try to be injury prone. I assume they try not to be injury prone. And then we look at them and we kind of have these, you know, like we almost act like it's their fault. Like, oh, yeah, can't count on him. He's injured. You know, like turn your back on him. I mean, Burks in a perfect world would really become a big part of this offense, but he's just too inconsistent. He's been too inconsistent his entire career. And even taking out the fact that the Titans traded A.J. Brown for him, which is really hard to swallow right now. And Joe, you were right about that when it happened. I was wrong. But taking that out of it, I mean, like right now he's at the point, and I think all these guys that are in their second years where, like, you're not really young anymore. And so it's time for you to start really helping the club in a positive way. And again, they just can't count on him. And I hate it. I mean, by all accounts, he's a great kid, but I mean, this is a production business, and he's not producing at the level that I traded AJ Brown for. He's not producing at the level that I, you know, drafted Taywan Taylor in the third round for right now.
I have no original thoughts in my head to offer, so let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Good morning. Jared spends spends 2 hours on the morning show's comments and opinions, 1 hour on Tannehill, 1 hour on the OC and conspiracy theories going out with the Titans. That's pretty much Jared's afternoon show. I'm just reading the text line.
That's not true. I spend 4 hours on the same thing every day. Like, whatever the main thing is that day, that's what we're talking about.
Okay, so what is today?
Is
what is today's show?
The Colts
Give
game.
Us a preview. Well, that's a wide umbrella. You're not going to narrow it down more than that?
It's a Friday before the Colts game.
Okay.
It's Fireball Hot Take Friday,
Fireball Hot Take Friday? What's your Fireball Hot Take? Give
hold
us a preview.
Let me pull it up. Hold on. Let's see. You know, and this is the thing I hate about, like, getting ahead of my work is that, you know, put something together at 7 o'clock in the morning, and then all of a sudden Vrabel at the press conference says something like, oh, yeah, Henry's out today. And then it's like, well, I guess, you know, everything that I just worked on. All right, how about this one? I think Tannehill and Henry should be enough to win this game. You know, like when they went to Cleveland, I was like, hey, you need to run, punt, because there's no way that you can block these guys, and you need to hope your defense comes through for you, and you need to hope that Deshaun, you know, turns the football over, but there's no way that, you know, you can offensively beat the Browns. I didn't think that, you know, Tannehill and Henry by themselves could beat the Bengals. I didn't think that they could, you know, beat the Saints. I really think that in this game, like, Tannehill and Henry should be enough to be able to beat this team. Like, this is a game where I'm looking at Derrick Henry like, hey, dude. Like, they're a very soft run defense. Like, you can run that ball up the middle. It should be, like, you know, Derrick for 5, Derrick for 3, Derrick for 6, Derrick for 2, Derrick for 8, Derrick for 2, Derrick for 7, Derrick for 1. Like, that's what it should be like. If they run the ball, Tannehill, take care of the football. Don't turn the football over. You should win this game. You know, and again, I think Indianapolis is going to try to win this game in the red zone, both on offense and defense. They're going to try to hold you to field goals, and they're going to hope that Superman can make some Superman-like plays running the football in the red zone. And so I'm like, you know what? Get down in the red zone. We know when Tannehill's on, he makes some of the most beautiful throws in the red zone, like that one to Westbrook Akine for the touchdown the other day. And I really feel like this is the first time where I'm like, hey, man, Tannehill and Henry need to carry you to victory in this game. Whereas, like, against the Ravens, you're going to need more of a team effort.
Also, don't forget your secret weapon, Monty Rice. And that was one of my favorite takes from yesterday.
Who is big enough and fast enough to be able to run with Anthony Richardson on your defense?
Who's playing well? Who starts at linebacker and makes plays, and who doesn't?
Well, I'm not putting the slow guy in there to run with Anthony Richardson, who's a 4-4.
So you don't – okay. So, yes, Monty Rice, that'll make the difference. Have you watched yet Gibbons play?
He's not running with Anthony Richardson.
But Monty Rice will, though.
I mean, Monty Rice is faster than Jack Gibbons.
Well, that is true. Jared, thanks for being with us. Enjoy the show today. Enjoy the game Sunday. We'll talk to you next week.
Are you arguing – that Jack Gibbons is fast enough to run with Anthony?
Oh, I love this. I love this.
See, guys.
The twist around.
See ya.
Yeah, the twist around. Yes, exactly what I'm saying. I might be saying that Jack Gibbons is the fastest player in the NFL.
I can't wait until Jack Gibbons chases Anthony Richardson down on Sunday.
I mean, it's in all seriousness, awesome. With Jack Gibbons, like, even in coverage last week, I was like, wow, he looks pretty good. But You know, I'm sure Monty Rice will be that's your key.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. I got a text that says, this is like a Southern thrift store version of Stephen A. versus Skip Bayless. Just can't miss radio.
Who's who?
Are you Skip?
God.
Are you Stephen
A.? No. I mean, he's got to be Skip. We used to call him Skipman, didn't we?
His name is Skip Stillman in my phone as we speak.
So there you go. I'll be Stephen A. It's fine.
And more on the Titans and the Colts coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in to 102.5, 106.3, the game tomorrow for Vanderbilt football. Commodores kicking off at 3 o'clock on the road against Florida with pregame beginning at 1:30. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Thanks to Jared Stillman for being with us in the last segment.
There's a little bit of clamoring for more Stilly and Pauly. I'm not sure we need Jared on here, like making fun of someone's, lost family members or whatever else. Also, I would say if you're going to use the word pipe on the air, I would be careful with the verb that you use with it. That's just me. Like a Keyser's face. people on the text line are telling me I don't know.
I don't know.
Certain things. Never mind.
We're talking about 420 yesterday, and we're talking about a pipe today. Oh my gosh, Joe.
That's true. That's the thing. You take that a lot of different ways. I'll just leave it alone. we'll just stop.
Do you buy into the Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill enough to win this game for the Titans? I kind of do. Like, this should be a game. I mean, we've seen those guys.
I think they do need the offensive line to take the field also. But
well,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they should have big games. This should be a good offensive game, in my opinion, for the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, the Colts are – they're an okay defense. I don't know that I'd call them –
They're not brutal.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd call them a bad defense. But, yeah, and especially you got some injuries. I mean, Buckner's a huge part of it. He's still – so critical to what they do. And when he's in and right, everything kind of fits. And it kind of used to be with Leonard, too, but now that's kind of Zaire Franklin. But, they don't have a great secondary. There are plays to be made. And with Skoronski back, like, I assume the Titans are not letting Skoronski back until Skoronski's really back. And so – for this matchup, you need him, and if he is back, then that's really good news for the Titans. So, yeah, I think they absolutely should perform offensively. I don't buy, even though it's been two atrocious road outputs, I don't buy that that's a thing. And maybe I'll end up being wrong on that, but I don't think this is going to be a huge home road split when it's all said and done for this team.
It's a big opportunity for the Titans outside of the obvious of just the divisional game itself against the Colts. But Jacksonville is playing Buffalo in London. So, I mean, the Bills the last 3 weeks have just annihilated people. We'll see if they can keep that going against Jacksonville. But, if Jacksonville loses to Buffalo on Sunday, Houston takes on Atlanta. So, I mean, I think Atlanta's a 1.5-point favorite in that game at home. So, it's an opportunity for the Titans. If you could win this game, there's a chance that you could be sitting all by yourself in first place in the AFC South come Monday morning. Not guaranteed to play out that way, but a chance that could happen. I feel good about Buffalo taking down Jacksonville based on the way they've been playing.
Yeah, based on the way they've been playing. And this is, I mean, look, when you look at the race, there are some weeks where you kind of need to count on losses, for the Jags. So I still think your biggest threat. So this would be one of them, the way the Bills are playing. I mean, if the Jags win this one, then you should fear the Jags permanently moving to London and just taking over the league.
I guess they've just been hanging out there all week. I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
There's no point in coming back over.
That would be all week. Yeah, that'd be a lot of wear and tear that you would not want to sign up for. So, yeah.
So it is the
Hopefully
London game.
They've had a good time.
It is the London game. So, weird things can happen in those sometimes. So I don't know how well this Buffalo adjusts to the travel. We'll see. But Buffalo's been pretty unstoppable offensively the last 3 weeks. Josh Allen. Last year the turnovers a big problem. First week against the Jets, turnovers a huge problem. He is right now the betting favorite to win league MVP the way he's played the last 3 weeks. Looks pretty good.
Super. This time of year, talking league MVP, I feel like every year it's like someone who by the end isn't even close.
A couple years ago, it was through six games, it was like,
Russ.
Well, just hand it to Russell Wilson. Yeah. It's over.
It's over. Russ. Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, credit to Josh Allen. They look great. And also, I feel like it works out so often like this in the NFL. You know, it's like the Dolphins absolutely soaring into that matchup, and they get humbled. And now everybody's talking about the Bills and how great they are. And or, I mean, last night it was like, what was the line? Wasn't Washington like a double-digit favor? Is that right?
I don't know. I don't know if they were a double-digit favorite. I didn't see the line, honestly.
I saw
the matchup earlier this week with Chicago and Washington, I was like, I don't know if you could hand-select a matchup that I care less about.
Yeah, I still watch way too much of it. But it was a big line. Someone tweeted about the size of the line. And, you know, again, I mean, I get it. You would have thought that the Commanders, although the Commanders have given up 29 sacks in five games, which is hard to do.
It is.
Poor Sam Howell's on pace to be sacked more than 100 times this year.
It's not good.
David Carr approves.
His record could be in jeopardy. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up at 745. Teron Davenport will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll get more into the Titans and the Colts matchup with him. Coming up next, we'll look into this weekend in college football. Some big matchups. Also, Vanderbilt taking on Florida. What could that look like? Does Vanderbilt have any chance in this game going down on the road through the swamp? And Joe Rexroad's laughing about something that we probably can't talk about on the air. We'll get to that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Join myself, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Madison this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for our NFL pregame show. We'll break down the Titans Week 5 matchup against the Colts, give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keyser here with you. Big weekend in college football coming up. Vanderbilt taking on Florida. We'll get into that matchup here in just a few minutes. But, Joe, you look around the country. A lot of intriguing matchups. Kentucky on the road at Georgia in Athens this week. Alabama going down to Texas A&M, take on the Aggies. Obviously, the Red River rivalry between Oklahoma and Texas. Say that five times fast. LSU-Missouri. A lot of intriguing games on the college football slate this weekend. Notre Dame-Louisville as well in another top 25 matchup. Which matchup, which game most intrigues you this weekend in the world of college football?
Well, I would – yeah, I'd go with the Red River rivalry. And you're right. That is hard. A
lot of R's.
Say fast. That one's got to be number one, you know, and I like that you have good games in all the time slots if you can possibly have that. We've had some good Colorado exciting matchups to kind of take care of the noon or the 11 a.m. time slot. I am very intrigued by LSU-Missouri. I'm intrigued by Alabama-Texas A&M.
That's it for me.
That's number one for you?
Yeah.
Okay. But Notre Dame-Louisville, I'm kind of into that one, man. Speaking of Jared.
Yeah.
See if his cards can take the pipe to the Irish. I got to stop. but that's – you know what? They got a coach now. They got a coach, and it's not like it's not like they've beaten anybody all that impressive. The Cardinals I'm talking about. I mean, they beat Indiana 21-14. So, you know, you beat NC State 13-10. They're finding a way to scratch out, win 39-34 with Georgia Tech. So, it's a not very impressive 5-0. However, at home, at night, in that stadium, I'm kind of here. I mean, Notre Dame shouldn't be undefeated. Well, they're not undefeated. Notre Dame should have two losses right now. If anybody watched the 4th-and-16 that they somehow picked up at Duke last week.
Yep.
Just ridiculous. I mean, so they're vulnerable. They're not great. And I'm kind of excited for that one. I hope we get a good game there.
The Alabama A&M game, I'm looking at it. A&M, they got smoked by Miami. And ever since then, they've looked pretty good, especially defensively. Like their defensive front, I mean, it's kind of amazing when you recruit all these five stars, eventually some talent starts to take over. And
yeah.
Defensively, they look pretty good. You know, can Jalen Milroe and that Alabama offense how much can they get done against this team on the road? That's going to be what's really interesting to me. I mean, look, I think this has a chance to be like a 17-14 type of game down there based on the way these two defenses are playing. Alabama, I think, is a one-point favorite on the road, so it's, you know, essentially kind of a pick 'em in this game. I'm if A&M can pull this off, which I think if you're Tennessee, you're probably rooting for A&M to pull it off and them to be kind of riding high on that emotion heading into Neyland next week. Number one, what does that mean for Alabama? But number two, how big a win is that for Jimbo based on everything that we've talked about with him over the last couple of years as he's tried to justify that salary that he's being paid down there at Texas A&M?
Yeah. I heard Chasen Big Joe talking about what if Jimbo loses this in Tennessee, is that it for him? Probably not it for him. But actually, I think this is more of like you could flip it the other way and say if Jimbo beats Saban 2 out of 3 years, how much of a feather in his cap is that? We all know last year was, you know, disastrous relative to expectations, and the Miami game was bad. But yeah, they win this game. I mean, Nick Saban assistants don't beat Nick Saban ever, so it's gotta mean something for him. And I agree with you. I think it's a defensive game, and I just think with Alabama now, I mean, they're kind of starting to resemble the team. I thought this year they would kind of go back to the roots of just dominating up front, good defense, run the ball.
Yep.
To me, it's like with A&M, when Tennessee plays them, can you keep Milroe from the 2-3 huge plays in a game that can change a game?
Well, and then for A&M, you know, Max Johnson gets in at quarterback when Wegman goes down. And for whatever reason, their offense has been unlocked since then. He looks better than Wegman did. So Johnson at quarterback, how much of a difference does that make in this game? Can he continue to play well against an Alabama defense that looks really good? That's a very intriguing one coming up tomorrow. And then there's Kentucky-Georgia. Kentucky undefeated. Georgia
I hope it's
undefeated.
Intriguing.
I hope it's intriguing. Georgia, a 14.5-point favorite in this game. Georgia, I mean, I've watched a lot of Georgia this year, even in some of their very non-appealing non-conference games. They haven't looked great, especially on the offensive side of the ball. They've been a slow starter in basically every game to this point. And they found a way to claw back and win last week against Auburn. Brock Bowers took over in the fourth quarter. They win the game. They're still undefeated. They're still the number one team in the country. Kentucky coming off a huge win against Florida where they were dominant. Ray Davis ran for 280 yards on the ground last week. I'm interested to see if Kentucky can hang in there on the road and how much of a run they can give this Georgia team. This is by far, in my opinion, the best team Georgia has played to this point, and they've not looked very good so far this year. Is this a game where they wake up and look like the Georgia we're used to seeing tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't know. They're not fluid offensively, and they have one guy, because they've got McConkey back now, and I know some people are like, oh, you get him back and watch out. He's a good player, but they have one guy who is completely unstoppable, and it's Brock Bowers. And he's really why they beat Auburn, because they just started going to him, and he made huge play after huge play. But other than that, it hasn't been great. And their defense is still – I mean, their defense at the end of the year may end up being the best defense in college football, but it's not – so far, it is not the overwhelming dominant – defense the last 2 years. And I mean, at some point you lose that many guys and then that many guys again, you have to expect a little bit of a reset, right? And I think we've seen that.
Well, there's no Jalen Carter up front right now for sure. I mean, that's right. Pretty clear. So yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't think Georgia is as good as they've been the last 2 years. That doesn't mean that they can't go win another national title, but I don't think that they're as good as they've been the last 2 years. We're going to find out a lot tomorrow, though, about what they are, what Kentucky is. You know, Kentucky hammers Florida last week, but what is Florida? I mean, Florida looked great against Tennessee. Other than that, they've looked pretty average at best. And Vanderbilt going down to the swamp tomorrow to take on Florida. Florida, an 18.5-point favorite in that game. Quarterback situation, interesting for Vanderbilt. Ken Seals was the starter last week. A.J. Swan was hurt. A.J. Swan, apparently, according to Clark Lee, getting healthier. I don't know if that means he's totally healthy this week, but I'm interested to see who's the starter for Vanderbilt at quarterback tomorrow, and is there any way that Vanderbilt can hang in there on the road with Florida? We talked about it earlier this week. They lose to Missouri. last week, and you're looking at the schedule for Vanderbilt, and you're running out of wins that, or at least even potential wins that you can identify on the schedule. I mean, I guess depending on which Florida team shows up, this could be a potential win. But I think the Doors have their work cut out for them tomorrow at the Swamp.
Yeah, like this is one of the better opportunities left. This one, I think this and Auburn.
Yep.
I mean, I think at this point, the idea of a bowl game, I mean, I think that kind of went out the window with the UNLV game.
But, I agree.
But, yeah, you still had Kentucky and Missouri. Not sure how good those teams are in your place, and maybe you have a chance. You get one, who knows. But it's just last year, I said this earlier in the week, we'd kind of just given up on Vanderbilt, and they come up with those huge wins. And, you know, that also was an interesting situation where A.J. Swan gets hurt. Mike Wright comes back in at quarterback. He's the one who, you know, who leads those wins. But it just defensively running the football and playing defense struggles for Vanderbilt right now. And, yeah, look, Ray Davis, that's just a – and they have their backs are fine, but that guy, you know, is a difference maker, and they miss him badly.
No question. And, you know, defensively, they've been banged up defensively. Can they stop what Florida wants to do offense? Like, Florida's not a over-the-top, kill-you-with-the-passing-game type of team based on the way they're constructed right now. But, I mean, I feel like based on what I've seen of Florida, they should be able to throw the ball against this Vanderbilt team. And, obviously, they can run it. I mean, ETN, that's going to be a heck of a challenge for Vanderbilt to try to stop tomorrow.
And that's the Gators are – I don't know. I don't think they're very good. They ran for almost 200 yards against Tennessee, which is absurd.
Just wild.
Absurd. In two losses, they have a combined 82 yards on the ground.
Yep.
That's, I think, more of what they are. You know, but it, you know, and it's Utah and Kentucky, and those are solid defenses. But, like, I could look at Vanderbilt, look at Tennessee, and say, if the Gators ran at home for, 180-plus on Tennessee, what are they going to do to Vanderbilt? If Vanderbilt can keep them around 100, then maybe they can make it interesting.
Well, Vanderbilt might at least try to tackle the running back. I mean,
that is true.
It would be a step above what Tennessee tried to do that night.
That would be, yes. That one play. The dive toward air, and then the, here, let me give you a push to the end zone. It's like the clip like we saw earlier, the Giants guy blocking a Giants guy.
Yes, just blocking his own teammate. Yeah, just very... very good stuff. And then, obviously, Tennessee off tomorrow, so they're not playing. A chance for them to get healthier. You look at their roster right now. Brew McCoy out. They're going to have to figure out what they're doing at wide receiver. A lot of Tennessee fans wondering if you could see D. Williams getting some offensive touches for the Vols.
That's an interesting one. I mean, look, the guy with the ball in his hands with any kind of space.
He's electric.
It's fun. But I'm really doubting that, given what he's been doing, that he's going to get into this offense and snap your fingers and here you go. I mean, here and there, a special play.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I think you might be more likely to see something like that. I don't think that they're just going to, like, train him to be a wide receiver now. Like, D, go, man.
They've got guys.
They do.
Your guy Nimrod
is
talented. Yes. Webb's talented. Yep. And Thornton's the guy, man. Get Thornton more involved and get those big plays going. To me, he has that Jalen Hyatt kind of speed that obviously makes a big difference. And, I mean, with a guy like Milton, what else do you want to take advantage of? What else could you possibly be more interested in taking advantage of than being able to throw deep to
stretch
the fastest
field.
Guy in the field?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's got to be the guy. I mean, when you talk about the three, it's Thornton, it's Squirrel White, and it's Ramel Keaton. And then you could have – I mean, the young guys – I do think it's good that those younger guys, even when McCoy was healthy, are getting some snaps this year, and you see in a little bit of what they could do. Like, you know, I like Webb. I think he's going to be a good player, but now you're going to need them to step up a little bit more. I think you will see more of Webb and Nimrod specifically. Beyond that, I don't know that you're going to see too many more bodies at wide receiver.
Yeah, Laycock's a year away, I think, you know, next year.
Yeah, I think.
I feel like there's a running theme on this show that will go unspoken.
Thank you. Let's make sure it stays unspoken.
Thanks a lot, Jared.
Yes. Got the Mike Matthews kid coming in next year, too.
That's right.
He might play as a true freshman.
That's right.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence.
You'll get nothing and like it.
He's kind of ugly, though.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. Joe, I turn things over to you. The floor is yours.
Thank you for the text, Keith. Did I ever tell you that I think I've said this on the air before because we've talked about Green Bay Packers quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I got a Billy Sims jersey in fourth grade for Christmas, but also I got three jerseys. Oh, I got a Tony Dorsett, which is like, eh, but he was an awesome player.
Sure.
And I got a Lynn Dickey jersey.
The original number 12.
I did. So I, as a child, would go Sims, which I wore all the time, Dorsett, and Dickey.
Rotation you had.
There you go.
There you go.
Just a little side note for you all. But today, thanks for that Michigan State fight song. Please stop playing it. Look, you know... Look, this would be the case. It actually kind of is a case, but I love Rocky Top. If you cover a college team and they have a prominent, you know, like a fight song that they play a lot, man, do you get sick of that song.
You hate Rocky Top?
I was going to say, because the Rocky Top's awesome, but the Michigan State fight song, like, if I never hear that for the rest of my life, it will be too soon, my friend. But I do want to talk a little about Michigan State because, and I may or may not be writing something about this too.
Okay.
So there's like this movement, I guess. It's become a message board geniuses movement for sure. But also, I got a text thread with some friends. I know a lot of people, of course, around that school, including some people who donate a fair amount of money. And there's a movement for Urban Meyer.
Oh, boy.
And so I'm going to separate out all the reasons that this is a problematic idea in the first place at Michigan State. I think it, a lot of places, but at Michigan State, like, you should never even let that enter your mind, okay? Let's set that aside. That kills it from the start. Like, if you were going to type that on your message board, like, it should have, like, your keyboard should have, like, shocked your fingers, okay, before you got to, like, the R. You know, you type the U, maybe the R, and then as soon as you start to hit the B, it's like, and your fingers get shocked off the keyboard. I wish we had that in society. Like, it's just, there's absolutely no way it can be seriously considered. But beyond that, I think Urban Meyer would be a disaster in today's college football. I really do. I really do. And I some of this opinion is based on, like, a story I did a few years ago, which I've talked about on the air because, you know, of course, I like try to talk about all my stories on here and promote them and
sure.
Completely self-absorbed. But the story was about 2012 Ohio State. I did it because Vrabel was on that staff, and a lot of the story was about, like, Vrabel trying to convince Urban Meyer to hire him and all this stuff. But what you came away from with the story is, like, to boil it down and distill it, Urban Meyer, and it was effective, Urban Meyer basically made you prove your existence every day in his program. Look. I mean, you can't argue with his results in terms of winning and losing, okay?
Sure.
In college. And I know some people – you will write in college. Yes, yes. And I know some people would maybe argue, okay, well, Deion came in and said, you guys are out, right? What Deion did was, yes, he said the quiet part out loud, and so it pissed people off, including friend of the show, Pat Narduzzi. Like, when Nick Saban came into Alabama, he ran off 30 kids, I promise you. And it just wasn't like, hey, everybody, get out of here, you know? But Deion, you know, I mean, but Deion's coaching style, and I think the prevailing coaching style in the era of especially transfer portal and free movement, that is nothing like what Urban Meyer did as a coach. I don't think his way would work anymore unless he's at Ohio State, Alabama, something like that. Like at a Michigan State, you know, like a mid-level program, I don't see it working out at all. So that's apart from all the ridiculous reasons you should never, ever, 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 ever consider Urban Meyer. Also, I think Urban Meyer, and I was thinking about this, who would he compare to? Like, in terms of, like, it's a big name. You know, like, someone on the text line with Robbie and Rex Road today was like, hey, I heard, you know, like, Lyle Collins used to play at a high level. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, so did, like, Brad Hopkins, you know, like, Taylor Long. Like, we know people's names, but at some point they're past their prime. 20 years ago, Lou Holtz, right? It was kind of like, there was, like, interest in Amity. South Carolina had done okay. Like, it's time to move on. Think about Les Miles. Remember Les Miles? Oh, he had it rolling, and then it went downhill, and then, like, Kansas. Where you get Les Miles.
Oh, yeah.
Big name. Well, it was terrible. First of all, he was at LSU. So then he goes to Kansas where you have no players, and it was just like, oh, yeah, this is terrible. That's what it would be with Urban Meyer if he went. And frankly, Urban Meyer, given all of his history, like, to me, he should get, like, Butch's job at Arkansas State or something. Apologies to you, Mickey. Again, I'm not even talking about all the reasons that you should never, ever, ever, ever consider Urban Meyer.
Butch still has his job. He's not getting fired. What are you
talking about?
I'm
saying if he loses his job.
He's not going to lose his job.
How are they doing? Have they been okay?
I assume they're not doing well.
All right. Now I'm looking up Arkansas State. But that's the type, like, that's the kind of job. If Urban Meyer really wants to get back into coaching, and I do, I'm a little bit intrigued given some of these rumblings. Like, is his agent out there shaking things up a little bit? I mean, our Bruce Feldman, yep, friend of the show, talked to him, and he said, oh, I'm not interested. Whenever I see someone say, oh, I'm not interested in a job, I'm like, oh, so you're interested in the job,
right?
Huh?
The quote, Bruce Feldman put this out there on social media. It says, about the reports linking Urban Meyer to Michigan State head coaching job, I just checked with him. There's zero truth to it with him being a candidate for it. He has no interest in that and is happy with what he's doing now at Fox Sports. That's from Bruce Feldman.
Right.
Which I read that and thought,
oh, okay, God.
So he would definitely
catch. Yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah. Right. So, yeah. I don't know, man.
Do you think he would be bad?
Yes. He'd be terrible. Look.
When was he? His last year at Ohio State was what, 2018? I think 2018 was the last year he was there. So, obviously, the landscape of this sport has changed very dramatically since then.
He hasn't been at a program where you don't just select your players since, like, 2006, okay?
Yep.
And it's just, I think it would be a total disaster. He's 60 years old. People don't like working for him.
No,
I mean, I'm not saying everybody across the board, but it's not easy. And I just – his way absolutely is reliant on you can't leave. And, you know, and I just
– And now they can leave.
And now they can. And, again, if you're at an Ohio State, could Urban come into Ohio State and win again? Yeah, probably. But any program where it's just a different deal and you don't have all the resources and all the advantages, I think with this, with the way it is now, I think he would fail miserably.
So what's worse, people clamoring for Urban Meyer or the Vandy fans clamoring for Will Muschamp to be hired as the head coach?
You got to show me that. Has that hit message board geniuses?
I don't know if it's hit message board geniuses. I've seen some of it.
Oh,
on
Will
Twitterverse.
Muschamp.
I'm just telling
what?
You what I've seen.
Muschamp!
Go
get him! We know his name. Again, there's a great example. There's someone's name I know who at some point had some kind of success. So
he's fiery.
How about that person?
He's fiery.
Yeah, he is fiery.
He's kind of a psycho.
I was going to say, you were talking about some meltdowns. It would be a little bit different sideline demeanor than Clark Lee.
I don't know what's my favorite Muschamp video, which one I like more. The one of him, like, in the locker room on the whiteboard, like, drawing up a play and then just punching the whiteboard that's on video. Or the old video of him and Saban together at LSU, and both of them, there's these players coming off the sideline, and both of them are just screaming their head off. It's one of my favorite college football videos of all time. A lot of things to choose from Will Muschamp.
Yeah. God. And also, Vanderbilt fans, what are you talking about?
I'm just saying.
We're talking about other coaches early in year three of a guy who took over – I would say the worst Power 5 situation in Power 5.
They wanted a bowl game this year. They're going to go maybe 2-10.
Yeah. Give me the percentage chance right now, since we talk about sacred cows, and give me the percentage chance right now that Vrabel, Heupel, or Clark Lee would be fired.
All three of them?
Yeah. No, any of them.
Any of them. About 1%.
It's zero for Heupel. It's zero for Lee, and it's...
It's not zero for Vrabel, but
one.
It's one.
1% for Vrabel. There's a sacred cowism. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. We'll look ahead to the Titans and Colts matchup with him. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.